A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and thank you very much for downloading the full-time Devils takeover of the Manchester Football Social. It was a good one today. I'm joined by Arkid. Hello, Arkid.
How you doing, Job?
Yeah, I'm very well, mate. And Abdullah. Hello, Abdullah.
How you doing, mate?
I'm very, very good. Both of you asking me how I'm good. I'm wonderful. We are talking about Manchester United for the next hour, the Champions League draw. We're also asking about who United should go out in the summer to... who United should go buy in the summer. And a little favour from us here, Manchester Football Social. If you wouldn't mind doing us a little tweet on your personal Twitter that simply says, I am voting for the MCR Footy Social in the FBA's for hashtag best podcast. Now, I know that sounds like a lot to remember, but if you go onto the Manchester Football Social Twitter, it is there for you to copy and paste onto your own Twitter. Just means that if we get more little more support from you, then we're more likely to win. So go do it. Enjoy the show. And thank you very much for listening.
Manchester United Football Social with Full-Time Devils.
Welcome to the Full-Time Devils Takeover on the Manchester Football Social. It is Thursday night, so we chat Manchester United for an hour. And joining me, I've got Abdullah from Full-Time Devils. Hello, mate. You good?
All right, mate.
You all right? And the poet who knows it all, Arkid, who's joining us. How are you, Arkid? You good,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, really good, man. You?
Yeah, I'm very, very good. We're going to get into a bit of chat today because we've obviously got a massive game on the weekend that could see a Manchester United trip to Wembley if we beat Wolves in the FA Cup. But there is the all-important Champions League draw, and I feel like it's been years since we've been excited for a Champions League draw. And I'll tell you my sort of stories. As a kid, it used to happen during a science lesson. You used to get the messages that text around, we've got such and such in the quarterfinals, and you used to be buzzing. So what do you want from the draw tomorrow? What team do you want to see come out of the hat for Manchester United? Is there an easy ride to the semi-finals, or do you want to face a big gun? Do you want to go to Barcelona? Let us know. 87711. Give us a call. 0345 111 7625. Come and have your say with the gentleman here all through till 7 o'clock today. Well, first, gents, I want to, and I'm sure Abdullah, you've already spoke about this, so I'll go to you, Arkid. A lot of people said again at the Arsenal game, the wheels have come off of Ollie's a lovely motor that we've had for so long. Do you believe, Arkid, that the wheels came off against Arsenal on the weekend?
No, not at all. I think it was deceiving, the result, to be honest. I thought Arsenal didn't flatter at all, the way they performed. I think we beat ourselves. Obviously, De Gea made a mistake that's very rare. And if Lukaku's got his shooting boots on, it's a completely different game. I was quite pleased with how Solskjaer came out and spoke about it, saying it was a freak incident and stuff. And, you know, if Jurgen Klopp had come out, he probably would have blamed the weather on that sort of day.
Abdul?
I don't know. I think we definitely lost a bit of a midfield battle against Arsenal. I thought we were a bit slow. I think it was might have just been us getting used to sort of, you know, the likes of Matic getting back in the side and getting that structure back in. I would have kept Scott McTominay in. I thought, even though I'm not his biggest fan, but, you know, that night he had in Paris was brilliant, and him and Fred worked the midfield, so I would have kept him in. But you can't take too much out of that game because, obviously, we'd missed some chances. Overall, I don't think we deserve to lose. A draw would have probably been a fair result considering how the game had gone. But you know what? You just got to kick on. It felt like, for the first time in years since Sir Alex, where you lose one of those games and you just feel like, oh, we'll be all right to go again next week. I've not had that feeling in years, like, where I'm not worried after we've lost. I feel like we can kick on next week and show exactly what we've done.
Yeah, it was a blip rather than sort of a progression of loss. Like under Mourinho, you'd be looking forward to the next game.
Do you think then, if Manchester United will go on to beat Wolves, this sort of wheels come off, it'll all be forgotten about, but it's a good situation United are in now, that nothing is nothing is too shaky. There is a steady ship, so to speak, or a steady car, Dave. And we've not had this in a long time. For you as a United fan, are you happy that, you know, we can have a defeat, but we can have our chin up for the next game? We're not down in the dumps.
Yeah, I mean, last time I was in here, Mourinho was the manager. I think he got sacked 2 weeks later. And the contrast between now and it's what, less than 4 months ago, we do feel... I'm excited about tomorrow's draw because it does feel like we shouldn't really fear anyone on our day. Mm-hmm. And I've no problem getting beat as a United fan as long as we go out and perform and try to attack. And when we got beat against Arsenal, I think the positives were that we were trying to win the game, do you know what I mean? And that wouldn't have been the case under Mourinho previously. But I think it's really exciting times for United.
Definitely, man. With the FA Cup coming, that potentially going to Wembley again. We love a trip to Wembley as United fans, and the Champions League, we're still in the run for that. So I think the turnaround has absolutely been from one extreme to another, almost, like where you think, oh, we've completely lost the season to hope of winning the Champions League and the FA Cup. I still can't believe this whole situation has happened where we've got Ole in, we'll beat Paris and we're in this situation. So you've just got to be thankful as a United fan that we've had this turnaround and we're finally playing quality football.
Yeah, indeed. And some of the players really stepped up. We will get on to a bit of an England call-up, though, because two United players in the England squad. Maybe have a chat about that, 87711. Give us a call, 0345-111-7625. Let's talk now, then, about the draw tomorrow. And the smile's on my face because it does take me back. And I'll tell you my story, like I said at the beginning of the show. And let me know your sort of thoughts and what you do when the Champions League draws out. If you're at work tomorrow, 11 o'clock, is there a mate that's going to text you who United have got? Are you going to try and slope off? Whatever your story is about how you're going to find out who United have got in the draw tomorrow, 87711 0345-111-7625. Give us a call. It was always the case that a lad called Ben Goldrick in our class, his dad used to text him the results in science, it was. And we used to, and this was in the good days of like 08, and we used to go through to finals quite regularly. And that used to go around the class and we'd have be buzzing. I mean, we got Schalke in the semi-finals. Yeah. Or, you know, they'd be a bit of, oof, this is going to be a tough game. So they're kind of what I remember of it. And we're in a Champions League quarter-final draw, Abdullah.
Stop.
It's weird.
I can't wrap my head around us winning in Paris. I was there and I seen it all and I still can't believe it. I don't know, like, I'd take anyone right now considering you're either going to face them in a semi-final. I think you find out who you get in a semi-final. This time they changed it. So it's almost as if, like, you just got to take anyone. But overall, for me, if it's Porto's the obvious one you'd want, because then you're getting onto the semi. Porto always that team that sort of sneak their way into the quarters. And other than that freak one in like 2003 or 04 where we lost to them and they went on to win it, to be fair, you'd usually, you know, be the, you know, sort of the guys that are going to beat them. So I'd look at maybe, you know, Liverpool and Spurs, and those are maybe the ones after. I think Liverpool have bit off.
Yeah, out of all three clubs that are English that we can get, City, Tottenham, Liverpool, who would you want to
avoid for? City at all costs.
Would you?
City over two legs, I think, might have us. So
yeah.
Even with the great form within, we've still not really tested ourselves against them. With Liverpool, we were unlucky. Obviously, 45 minutes of, you know, three injuries come in, and then second half, Marcus Rashford's playing on with painkillers. He's barely running. We're basically down to 10 men. And I feel like they've been off the pace in the last few games, Liverpool, and it might not be the worst time to play them. Spurs, I think that would be a tough one. I think that might be harder than Liverpool.
Really? So how would you rank it? Hardest City, then Spurs, then Liverpool.
The reason I go for Spurs is I think when we played them back in January in Wembley, I think we really struggled against them. We did get lucky. Obviously, at the end of the day, it was a 3 points. They didn't take their chances. That's football. I just think that since they, you know, they've had their injuries, they've rotated really well, and they've got back in the season. I know they've had some, you know, struggling games recently, but with Champions League, it's probably going to be their main focus. And, you know, Liverpool, they're going to have the league on their mind. You know, you hear Salah the other day going, oh, you know, we'd rather win the league and all that stuff. You'd want to face someone like that, you know, someone that's got that in the back of their mind. You can't have that mentality going into there. And I think, like, you know, Spurs over two legs and with them not fully concentrating on the title or anything might be a bit harder than facing a Liverpool. And I think with our full strength team, with Ole, you know, managing us, we've not really shown what we can do against Liverpool considering what happened last time. And I'd fancy us against Liverpool. You know, I don't think it'll be easy, but out of the English teams, I'd probably rather face Liverpool.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'd rather.
It's
face
exciting, though, isn't it? It's buzzing. And what? Yeah. I, before we get sorry, Arkid, we also map out the route to the final. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying we're going to get to the final, but you know that if you get through to the quarters, who you're going to face in the semi final? I just put a smile on face. Sorry, Arkid. Who would you not want to face out the English clubs?
I wouldn't want to face City. Obviously, I think they're probably the favourites for the cup. I like what you were talking about, Liverpool. And the thing that always gets me when we've got like four clubs in the Champions League, getting beat by them, the worst thing. But just can you imagine knocking Liverpool out of the European Cup? Do you know what I mean? And I think we owe them a bit of service when we did the Europa League a couple of years ago. I'd take Spurs out of the three of them, to be honest. I think they've had a bit of a slip recently.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see Oli versus Poch at Old Trafford. you know.
It would be. We're going to go to David on the line because David has called us up. You can do the very same. 0345 111 7625. Hello, David. You're right, mate.
Hey, guys. You're right.
Yeah, I'm
great. Work. Right, mate, to say.
Thank you.
Full time Devils.
Thank you very much, mate.
About Arsenal result, and it's a really strange one where it's never great to obviously come away from a defeat, proud around performance, because obviously you know we haven't got the 3 points. But I thought in terms of previous experiences at the Emirates, I think we did fantastically. I think we were super unlucky not to get the 3 points. The amount of chances that we had, the amount of chances we created as well. So I was obviously disappointed.
Do you think it was a bit of an overreaction as well from Arsenal fans? They made it sound like they just won the Champions League.
Yeah, it was like a World Cup final for them. You know what Arsenal fans are like. They're a fan club. Yeah. You know what I mean? So they have to be happy about something. And to be honest, we all know Arsenal are going to like collapse anyway. So do you know what I mean? We'll just take our chance. If and when it comes about. But yeah, no, super happy about it. Also happy to see, obviously, the press have kind of not made a field day out of it about how Ollie's not the one because of obviously a loss to Arsenal. So I think everyone kind of as a collective has probably seen the massive shift in performance, which is great, happy about. And the other thing I wanted to have a chat about was obviously the whole Paul Lintz thing and, you know, Michael Owen as well. And I don't get it. It's two players with big stature within the game to kind of act like that is just pretty disgusting, to be honest.
Do you think it's jealousy?
I think Paul Lintz is bitter. Like, you know, he's failed manager, unfortunately, at this moment, and I hope that turns around for him. But, you know, that's a fact. He hasn't been successful. So I think it is that. Mm-hmm. I've struggled to understand the point that he made around, you know, mood was so low, anyone could come in. Yeah, for one game, maybe. Cardiff game, cool. But I think everything Collie's done after, it's just disgusting for him to still think that he could have done the same thing because, you know, that's never
it's hard to manage. I mean, you look at ex-United legend Paul Scholes quits today after 31 days in charge of Oldham, only one win under his belt in 7. So, you know, these ex-players, not everyone, you know, who knows what the Paul Scholes situation is, but, you know, it's not everyone can do it. Not everyone can do what Ollie's done. Got to give him the job, haven't you, David?
No, I completely... Oh, 100%, mate. The moment we gave him the job on a caretaker basis, I was telling all my mates that. perfect job for him. Could see him doing well, and he's just kind of just taking it on from there. I'm so happy having him enrolled. Can't wait to announce. Hope he gets a 50-year contract, mate. over that, mate. All over it. Can't wait.
David, get a bit involved in our Barcelona, our Champions League chat. Who do you want tomorrow to see being pulled out of the app?
I think everyone will say, you know, Porto or Ajax. Not that either one of those is going to be an easy game. I would prefer not to have City in the final or Liverpool, preferably. I'd prefer to beat Liverpool to get to the final, to be honest. So whether that's next round or whether that's semis, I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
If I could choose, I would take Porto. I reckon probably out of everyone else that's left, they're probably the weakest. But it's still a great side in their right.
David, thank you very much for your call, mate. Do what David just did there. Give us a call. 0345 111 7625. Get on in now. We can have a chat with you by the end of the show. So we've asked about who might be the easiest out of the English clubs. Who's the hardest then out of the whole draw? Who do you not want, Abdullah?
City.
So out of all them, City, Tottenham, Liverpool, Juventus, Ajax, Porto, Barcelona. City are the toughest.
I think it'll be City. I said they were favourites on the earlier shows that we did one here. And I still stick by that. The only thing is with City, they have struggled in Europe, and we're seeing this against Lyon this season, and you know against Monaco and the couple of seasons before as well, and they still struggle. And I don't think they've been past the semis. They got against Madrid at one point, and they didn't have a great showing in that. So they maybe a bit of an experience in Europe could end up knocking them out. But in terms of pure quality and a structure and a team that they've got in place, and they've had a manager in there for a few years now who's built that team, it will be difficult to beat them over two legs. You know, I'd rather not play City over two legs. Again, what the lad said, I actually agree with him. You know, you might want to play the Liverpool from now and not leave it till a final. If you end up meeting Liverpool in a final, I can't watch it. I'm
personally struggle to watch it. It would be awful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What about Juventus? Okay, do you think you could take on Juventus knowing that you know you've gone to their ground, you've beaten them? Over two legs, could United have Juventus?
I don't know. Well, it's taken on Ronaldo, isn't it? Again, it's that whole narrative of Ronaldo coming back to Old Trafford. I don't think we'd beat Juventus. I think they, the way they play at home, it was a bit of a, it was a great result. I think it was probably one of Jose's greatest results at United when we did him at Turin. But I wouldn't like to play Juventus. The City one, I think it'd be interesting. It's if we got the home game first, and if we were to get a 1 or 2-0 win at home against City, then that'd make an interesting second leg. But Porto, it would be for me. I still think either Barcelona or City are probably the favourites for the European League Cup. Yeah.
could you see his take on?
Might be disqualified from the first game because of the celebration he did in the end.
do you think that?
Apparently there's reports going around. So if we do get Juventus and he ends up missing the first game, you just know we'll play them on the second and he'll bag out.
He'll absolutely destroy us. That will be the draw tomorrow. And I think Full-Time Devils are doing a live watch-along of the draw. Are you doing it, Abdullah?
Yeah.
I'll be there as well. I'll bring the bacon butties and the coffees. Yeah. We're going to talk about United possibly winning the thing now. Is there any chance on that road to where is that? Madrid. Completely mind blank then. Yes. Is there any chance of United getting to the final?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on the draws. Obviously, tomorrow, and we could get an easy path. There's a theory we could actually get like Porto in one leg, and then let's say Ajax played Liverpool, we could get a Porto Ajax path to the final. So yeah. I think anything's possible. We've got nothing to lose really under Ollie, as long as we're going forward and trying to score goals. Yeah, I think anything's
exactly
possible.
As long as we're playing with a style that we've been playing, the determination that we've had on the pitch and the fight back that we had like in Paris, and you're happy with that as a fan. You know what fans look at as well as where you want to be going. And I'd love to go to like Portugal. I think that'd be a good trip. And Amsterdam won't be bad at all as well.
Surviving one piece. It is going to be difficult, isn't it? You're going to need the best players still fit, still going for Manchester United. Because if you're going to take on the best, you've got to have the best team available for you. Although, come to think about it, that spirit about what you did in Paris, it worked, didn't it? You went, Abdullah, it was just a bit of spirit about Manchester United. It wasn't necessarily about who was playing, it was about who they were playing for and why they were playing for
United. Felt that when we were watching it, like, you know, the way Fred and Scott McTominay were winning the ball back, and they're not our best players by any chance, you know, in that side, but everyone's had doubts over those two guys, but the way they were winning the ball back in midfield was amazing to watch. You know, Fred, as soon as he wins it, plays it into, you know, Andreas. He was carrying the ball forward, making things happen. And those lads really gave us a chance, you know. We barely had a chance. Rom gets... It went perfectly, wasn't it? Because, like, Rom gets that first chance in the first few minutes, puts that away, and then that's going to plan. They score, but for me, that doesn't change anything because you're still going to have to score three. So, you know, then you get that lucky goal. But, you know, you got to buy your own luck in there. You know, Marcus Rashford takes that start before, you know, fumbles it, Ron puts it away, and then that penalty, the time was almost perfect, because I think if they get that 10 minutes before and we've got Mason Greenwood, Chung on either wing, and Rom and Rashford on, we're conceding at least two in the last 20 minutes, so it was perfect.
But it all went to sort of Ollie's strategy, didn't it? I mean, before the match, he said as long as we're in the game within 10 minutes to go, and I don't think that's what he's getting a lot of credit for in the press. A lot of the pundits are saying, like Paul Lindsay, you were alluding to, that he's just come in and sort of relaxed the mood around it. But from a strategy point of view, he is playing it great. And I mean, how wonderful was it to see last 16 a Champions League final and him bringing on two youth players with 10 minutes to go, and you're still chasing
seeing
the result.
17-year-old, you know, Mason Greenwood, so much talk about him and hype, and seeing him run towards us celebrating was just unbelievable. As a United fan, it was like a proper emotional moment for us there in Paris. And I don't think if we can even get a better night. We've got to do something seriously special to get a better night this this season.
It does. I'm just reading a little article. For anyone who doesn't know, Manchester United's Champions League quarterfinal clash could be changed because of City possibly getting a...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
What I'm trying to get my head around is if City draw a home leg in the same sort of strand as United drawing a home leg, the police do not want both the games to be played on the same night at home. United being the lower ranked side will be forced to change their game earlier or maybe a week later, but it will mean that if United and City are kind of drawn in the same sort of tie, United will be forced to change because City are the higher ranking team in the Champions League. I'll get my head around that article that's just popped up there. We're going to take a little break. We're also going to be talking about the big FA Cup game because that we are still in. You know, we still could do the treble this year, boys. We've got FA Cup chat on the way, as well as looking at the England squad and the United players called up to that. Get your calls in 0345 111 7625. We'll speak to you after this.
Manchester United Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show. Full Time Devils.
Welcome back to the Full Time Devils takeover of the Manchester Football Social. My name is Joe McGrath and I'm joined in the studio by Full Time Devils Abdullah. Hello, mate. You good?
Hi, mate. Am I right?
I have a very nice smile across the studio as well. For the second time this season, our kid, the poet. Hello, mate. Are you all right?
Yeah, great, mate. Yourself?
Very, very good. Thank you very much for joining us for the next about half an hour. We're going to be speaking all things Manchester United and you can get in touch 0345 111 7625. Come and join the conversation. We're talking about the Reds. Is there anything better? We're having a chat about the Champions League. Who do you want in the next round? Who do you want to avoid? We're also having a bit of a chat about a possible spending spree in the summer for the new manager, whoever it might be. Ollie, please. We're going to... Well, let's just talk about Gary Neville's comments, former ex-player. Get on the comment section on YouTube once we go live. I think that's going to happen soon. Fingers crossed. 8771 on Twitter. Yes, so Gary Neville suggests that we need two centre-backs to really go for the title next season. He's put a statement out there suggesting, you know, the strengthening the back will be the lift United needs to really make sure they're up there. Because, you know, even though we are top four this season, we're not the best of the best. Do you believe that? Do you think that's going to happen?
I think one, and I think one's definitely needed, minimum. And it'd have to be a world-class signing. I think if you go out and you look for potential, this and that, you're not really making a huge difference because Chris Smalling's doing a great job right now alongside Lindelof. Had a great night in Paris, great night in London against Chelsea. Been on good form. Bailly's had some good games. So I think unless you're going out for the best at the best, you know, in the market. You're looking at the likes of Varane, Koulibaly, De Ligt right now has got the potential and is world class. There's no point for me really pursuing a centre back unless they're a certified world class defender, just like Van Dijk, you know, with the Liverpool situation.
We've done that though, haven't we, with the potential? Because that was what Lindelof and Bailly was, wasn't it? They were the reasons we signed them.
Yeah.
And I think Bailly sort of fell off the pace a bit, but Lindelof for me has been one of our best players this season.
Mm-hmm.
But the buying two new centre backs, this has been the same narrative for a couple of seasons, really, hasn't it? And it's been like probably our undoing. Aside from David De Gea, we'd be completely knackered at the back. Yeah. But for me, we do. I can't see that the Glazers are going to spend 70 million on a defender.
So weird how, I don't know how the clubs run from the top, you know, if they see spending over 40 million on a defender is not good enough and stuff like that, because we have heard that in the past, you know, apparently when we wanted Mendy, we didn't want to spend 50 million because we thought that's too much for a defender, you know, and it's just weird looking at football like that, you know, especially at a club like Manchester United. You should be doing what City are doing, you know, identifying what you need. They just spent 54 million for the fun of it. Laporte mid-season and they were already winning the title. Where is that mentality at Manchester United right now?
Not just City either. When you look over the Mersey and you see Liverpool spending what, £75 million on Virgil van Dijk, and that's really paid off. People are talking about him as one of the best players in Europe at the minute. I mean, that is a bit of an over-exaggeration, but I mean, he's a good player. Maybe, you know, they'll see that it worked for Liverpool. United should splash the cash, but we shouldn't be waiting on our rivals to make a move for then us to learn from it. The trendsetters should be United. Yeah. That's not easy to say after a couple of pints. Well, let's talk maybe more attacking options. Do you think with the introduction of some youngsters and the way United are playing at the minute with what they've got, Ollie would look to strengthen at all in his attacking option, Abdullah? Do you think he kind of is happy at the minute?
I think it's important that we don't just go in and buy anyone, because I'd love to see Jadon Sancho at Manchester United. I'm a big fan of him, and I think he's a brilliant talent.
Is that going to happen?
The thing is, I don't think for his sake he should move this summer, and I don't think for United's sake as well we should go for him this summer, just because I think we need to identify what our system is over the summer. Let's go into pre-season, play some of those games, see, you know, what we need coming into next season. If there's a buy that's worth it, we might get in towards the end, but I still don't know what our best system is yet. Is it, you know, having Jesse in it and with the, you know, those strikers like Marcus and Martial going narrow and wide? Can Jadon Sancho do that? I think he's better as just a pure wide player. We don't play the system like that. For me, we need to strengthen at right back. Going in for someone like Wan-Bissaka, Premier League proven, arguably one of the best defenders in the league this season. You know, he wins so many tackles week in, week out. He's right at the top of that tackle ratio winning stat. You know, every week you look at that, he's winning his tackles. When Martial come up against him at Old Trafford, you know, he struggled. He couldn't get past him. So someone like that, that's Premier League proven. We need to, I think, start looking into the Premier League, just like Sir Alex did over the years as well. I think that strengthens you. I think in the transfer market, the fact that we've not looked into our own league, other than maybe Matter in recent years and stuff like that, and Luke Shaw maybe, you know, we need to really start looking at to play players that are proven in the league as well as you know, looking abroad.
Yeah, because that was Ferguson's tactic, wasn't it? At the beginning of every season, it was let's get the best player off our opponents. But the thing is, now the Premier League players cost more money than they do on the continent. So again, that comes back to the same issue as the Glazers spending money. What about talking about Dalot at the back though? Because obviously like you're talking right back, but he looks like a winger against Paris Saint Germain.
He's one of my favourite players right now on the side. I think his attitude's brilliant. He works hard. He beats his man and gets across straight in. You know, he does those stepovers with purpose. You know, he looks like he's gone to Cristiano Ronaldo's school of stepovers. You know, the way he beats his man is absolutely amazing to watch. And I think what Dalot's giving us right now actually should push us to get a right back, because this shows that he can play as a right winger, he can play as a left back. He stepped in for Luke Shaw and assisted Marcus Rashford brilliantly, I think it was against Bournemouth, at left back, and he can cover at right back. That's someone that can play anywhere pretty much across the pitch, and that means that if you strengthen there, that you got cover all over the pitch. Yeah. And I think if he's not starting, he'll be coming off the bench, whether to be a defensive minded player or whether to go forward, just like we've seen this season. And I think we still got to strengthen at right back. And still give him his chance. Let there be a bit of competition.
Two names that were talk in the news like yesterday about coming and going from United. One suggesting Sanchez going to go out on loan. Ooh. I mean, whatever happens there, my personal opinion might be to cut our losses. If it's just not going to happen, it's not going to happen. No point doing all this about a loan move. Do you think that Sanchez's time at the club might be over?
I don't know. I think the reason the Sloan thing's happening is because no one's going to be willing to pay his wages.
Yep.
And actually pay any sort of price tag United are going to realistically want. Unless he's going to China or wherever else, America or something like that, maybe they pay his wages. But I think maybe sending him out on loan somewhere in Europe to obviously have some of his wages paid off, realistically just keeping him a year or two on loan, and then because they can't sell him, maybe that's the reason that's happening. Most likely is because I can't see him fit into the system. You know, we've seen Delo come in for him the other day, completely changed the game.
Yep.
Where was Sanchez? I think the way we play, you know, Paul Pogba needs that space, and I think Sanchez carries the ball in the middle to look for something to create. I think only Paul Pogba on our side is that guy to do that. Off the ball, he's nowhere near as good as Jesse Lingard. His energy isn't as good as Jesse Lingard in the middle. Doesn't understand the game as well in that certain part of the pitch. And I just think he just can't fit into this team no matter what you do. And we might have to cut our losses, like Joel said. If not, it might just be about getting his wages back by doing the loan stuff.
Yeah, it feels like an amicable breakup, really. I mean, it must have been a conversation with Solskjaer that it's not work. If it was going to work, it would have worked by now, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it would be like a lot. The long goodbye, you'll go out on loan where they split the wages for a while and it sort of bare freeze United butt cut to spend on other players.
Being linked with Gareth Bale as well, it's this second story that kind of was being talked about. You know, he does no longer wanted at Real Madrid. His fans don't certainly want him. Some of the videos that were circling the other day. Would you take Bale? I don't believe Bale would be the right solution for United. I just think he'd be a kind of another Sanchez type player that we'd regret down the line of spending a load of money on. Well, spending a lot of money on his wages.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It's just his injury record as well. You know, it's not great. And I just think he'd be coming in. It's too big a personality, I think. While we're looking at players coming in, I think it's going to be interesting that Solskjaer's biggest job in the summer is the players that he's going to let go. Because at the moment, he's got a happy family at Old Trafford, but sooner or later, he's going to have to come to the decision where he's got to try and upset the apple cart by getting rid of players. So what happens there? I think he's past his best. And like you were saying earlier, we want to be getting the best in their prime rather than getting people on their former glories.
And I think what happens is with the likes of Bale, if you bring him in, then you're sort of taking up what Marcus Rashford does for you. I mean, they're different players. Marcus Bale's more of a right winger who comes onto his left foot, takes a shot, you know, looks to do something. But in terms of their directness and, you know, getting straight on the ball and looking for goal, I think Marcus Rashford does something similar, and I don't see how we can fit that all in. You know, we've still got to see, because Rom's been on brilliant form for us, obviously missed some chances at Arsenal, but how do you fit him in next season? And I think we've got to look at what we're doing at the back before we even think of going forward. Maybe strengthening at the back and then allowing our attackers to do what they want, because we've seen them at their best this season. They can unlock defences. You know, Pogba, Martial, Marcus Rashford, Jesse Lingard, you know, Romelu Lukaku. Those guys can be here for another season or two and really work something great going forward. It's all in defence for me.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the problems in the Mourinho, it was scoring goals and we were shipping goals as well.
Yeah.
We started scoring goals again, and look, Pogba's been a revelation, hasn't he? Especially in his goal-scoring form.
Yeah.
If you look at how Van Dijk reinvigorated Liverpool just by one defender at the back and gives a whole lot of confidence, that might just be the difference.
Exactly.
The names
you're
talking
about. That's the difference of like challenging the title and just be challenging for top four. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. We're going to just talk about now, before we go to the next break, about the England 23-man squad that was announced yesterday. Two United players getting into it, Shaw and Rashford. Now, you would suggest maybe the fact that Young is not in there just because, you know, he getting on, Lingard for injury reasons, but I wouldn't expect everyone's kind of highlighting the fact that United have only got two players in this England squad. But who else would you want
to
see?
Chris Smalling but I don't think he fits the style that what's his name, Southgate wants to play. I'm shocked Wan-Bissaka's not gone in. He's been better than Trippier has been an absolute shambles. To say the least, you know, for Spurs recently, so many mistakes coming from him. Aaron Wan-Bissaka has been top of his game. He's really shown up in those big games for Palace. So maybe it's just a case of giving him, because he's got into the under-21 squad, getting into that team. So overall, I think I don't expect anyone else from United to make it. Marcus Rashford, Luke Shaw, Jesse Lingard are usually the guys that are going to get in.
Yeah.
Smalling doesn't fit the system.
Yeah, I mean, I always, like you were saying, we look forward to the draw of the Champions League. I always hate the when England national call-ups, because I'd rather they didn't call it. Feign injury.
Is there any sense of, I know it's quite weird, is there any sense of, I mean, this might just be because a pride in the amount of United players in the squad, or are you just not that bothered?
I'm not bothered in the slightest, to be honest. I'd rather United.
Because people say, oh, look, it's such a rich vein of Tottenham players, City players. Not that bothered about
the
United
thing is,
players.
I'm not that bothered. Like, I always have this convo, every World Cup, every Euros. Like, I like to see our players do well. I like to see Jesse Lingard, Marcus Rashford, you know, those lads when they went over to the World Cup. I really wanted them to be successful, but just for their sake. You know, it's just like seeing our players on international stage, even Rom at Belgium, stuff like that. You want to see them do well. Pogba at France, you know, winning the World Cup, I was buzzing for him. But it's just like I don't care as much about international football. I just can't find the same love for it, I guess.
No, so do I. I'm 100% with it. Right, we're going to take a little break. Coming up after that break, we're going to be chatting about the big game on the weekend, Manchester United against Wolves, the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. It's going to be a tough, tough game. Love to know your thoughts. 87711. Give us a call. 0345 111 7625. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the Full Time Devils Takeover of the Manchester Football Social. Thank you very much for listening. You can always get this on a podcast. Search Manchester Football Social, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm joining the studio of Arkid and Abdullah from Full Time Devils. Gents, we have got about 20 minutes to talk about Manchester United in action this weekend, which a result will bring us to Wembley. The FA Cup, we haven't been too far away from. We got close last year, getting beat in the final. We know the FA Cup has done us quite well since the post-Ferg era, whereas other titles haven't. But we go against Wolves. It's going to be an extremely tough game. They're going to want this. Are they going to want this more than us? Probably not, actually. Oh, I don't know, because this is their stamp on things.
Should be just as much, and it'll be a hard game, man.
Wolves have got big teams' numbers.
It's how you get stepped back in the game, you know, by beating a team like Wolves away from home in the FA Cup quarterfinals. Important game, very important game. I think we need to go all out for that.
Yeah, indeed we are. So going all out would mean playing the best players. And we've got sort of some news floating around about who could possibly be back in training. Lingard and Herrera back, obviously, in training. This doesn't mean they'll start. But do you expect Martial came on for the final bit of the Arsenal game? Rashford being a bit sharp. If he has the full squad ready, even if they're kind of not as fit as they'd like, will Ollie go for his, you know, Rashford, Martial, Lingard tactic that has been so powerful?
I probably wouldn't start Jesse in this game.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about Lukaku, who's going to drop for him.
Rom, I think I'd keep Rom in the team. Maybe go with a 4-3-3. See how that goes. You're not losing anything. Start off, see what Marcus, Rom and Martial can do.
And the thing is, he brought Lingard back too early as well against Liverpool, didn't he? That could cause a delay. So I think that'll be playing on his mind when he's looking at the 11 this weekend.
Lukaku, you know, he has been a different sort of player. Scoring them goals, you know, the confidence has got to be back for him. But, you know, Ollie was doing quite well without him. Does Lukaku give Ollie a headache now? Or do you think there is a way that they can play?
It really depends on the style we're going to play, but at the same time, we went to Paris, he performed, he got the goals. His overall play against Palace in the league was pretty good. You know, two goals in that game that kicked him off, then Southampton. What a brilliant performance that was from Rom. It's a good headache to have. We've always had, I always say this, you know, we had 3-4 strikers in our best teams, and, you know, they've always been a way of rotating it. We went from Tevez, Berbatov, Ronaldo, Rooney's. You know, Saha was in the mix at times there. And, you know, then you're looking 99, Andy Cole, Dwight York, Sheringham, you know, Ollie. You're going to need the top players to compete against each other. And it's healthy competition at the end of the day. You can have them as game changers and you can have them as starters.
I'd be interested to see, though, with the Lukaku situation, is that if he does get dropped, then would he not take it as sort of a slight against his performance against Arsenal? And we know that Lukaku is very much a player that plays on confidence, so I think that he'll keep him in the starting 11.
Definitely keep him in the starting 11, just because he's a player that needs his confidence. And I think he did miss his chances, but his overall game wasn't bad at all against Arsenal. Let's keep him in the side and see what he can do.
The other name I mentioned there, apart from Jesse Lingard, is Herrera's been back training again for United. When he before he got injured, he, the passion that he was showing, the drive, the sort of, we loved him on Full Time Devils. Yeah. Do you think we missed him? Because I don't know if we've missed him. He'll be an added bonus, I think, Herrera.
Yeah.
But do you think we missed him?
I think we've missed his bite, and I think against Arsenal, he is a game changer. I think Matic was just... I'd like to see what Herrera can do in Matic's role. I know Matic does that role really well. Mm-hmm. Just be a bit passive in the middle. Make sure that he's, you know, sitting in front of the defence and just sort of, you know, not making sure nothing goes past him. I think Herrera, Fred Pogba, I'd like to see. I thought Fred, a lot of people picked his performance out against Arsenal, said he was pretty bad. I don't think he was that bad. I thought he was getting his tackles in. I know the penalty was a bit soft that he gave away. You know, give the lad a bit of time on the team, because if you think about it, Lindelof needed a bit of time. I'd like to see what Fred, McTominay or Andreas can do with Herrera, Pogba. You know, Matic might need a bit of time to get back into the team, especially after that performance at Arsenal. He got subbed off as well.
Yeah, you've got to see that the McTominay or Herrera are probably going to be the ones that's the transition for Matic's role, isn't it? Because obviously Matic is 30 plus now, isn't he? So you'd be looking at that. But Herrera's just got United running through his blood, isn't he? I just love how industrious he is on the football pitch and running around and sort of gene players up. So he brings more than sort of a physical game. He sort of brings like the personality of the club in, on the pitch.
I love Ander Herrera. He's one of my favourite players in this team.
And it's that passion, that bite you're going to need in these games in the quarter final. Ollie will look at it and try and give it his all. Herrera, hopefully, on that pitch. And one player that we kind of was excited to see against Arsenal because we missed him in Paris was Paul Pogba.
Yeah,
he needs a big game. That sort of takes it. You need to take the driving seat for this game. Budge Ollie over for 1 minute, and this could be his moment where because he hasn't had the spotlight on him in the Champions League. It was a bit diluted performance against Arsenal. Quarterfinals of the FA Cup. Go on, Pogba.
Man, he needs to step up in this game and get back to form. He's had a bad game or two. Obviously, Arsenal, Southampton at home wasn't the greatest. But he's got the quality, and we know what he can bring to the side. And Wolves away, perfect opportunity to take that ball and, you know, take control of the game and show us what he's made of. And hopefully, we get the right runners off him, we get the right movement and the right energy in midfield, which we lacked at times against Arsenal. And hopefully, it's a win against Wolves.
Indeed. Pereira got his contract extended this year to 2020. Do you see Pereira as a long-term option? He's been good, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He stepped up a bit because he was I remember the Burnley game when it was 2-2 at home. That was a bit of is he going to make another appearance for United?
He's definitely someone I'd keep in the side for the next couple of seasons. I'm not a fan of the whole extension by, triggering that clause. That shows that we've not got our, you know, whole system in terms of contracts and stuff in place. Having to, you know, extend the contracts with De Gea and Martial before, obviously, we signed Martial eventually, but having to do that year extension, which Herrera's probably going to end up getting, doesn't, you know, show good signs of how we're dealing with stuff in terms of contracts. But I'd like to keep Andreas. I think he's a great ball player in midfield. Can step in for the likes of Pogba, likes of Herrera. We've seen him against PSG pick up some nice pockets of space in between their midfield, and he's such a clever player. Scored that brilliant goal against Southampton. So I'd definitely keep him around the team and keep that competition in midfield. Matic is going to be gone in a season or two. Realistically, he's not going to be in this team. So, yeah, definitely I'd keep the likes of Andreas in the side.
How old is he now? Is he 23?
23. Yeah, 23,
24. But I think he's got a great talent, and the goal he scored the week was fantastic. But is he like the creme de la creme of football players? And is he stopping anybody else sort of coming through from the academy having that sort of...
I think the likes of... I would agree with you slightly on that in terms of the likes of Garner that can come through, Angel Gomez, but they've got to beat that competition. They've got to come into this team and perform better than someone like Andreas if they get the opportunity. I think they will. I think we're looking to build... Realistically, we're looking to build from the back, and some spots in midfield I think will be left for the likes of Gomez and Garner to, you know, challenge for in the next season or two. And I think they've got the talent to come through, definitely. So I don't think he's stopping it. I think it's good to have that competition because he is still quality. Like we said, it's not someone that, you know, at times Fellaini had his great moments at United, but he wasn't someone that was going to progress us in the future or you're going to structure your club around. Whereas, like, someone like Andreas can come in to, like, a game like Paris, you know, have a decent game and, you know, challenge for that spot in the team in the midfield.
The tale that's going around on Twitter at the minute is that United City could see each other four times over the next 18... What was it? Four times in 18 days coming up at the back end of April. If United get through to the next round of the FA Cup and then obviously the Champions League draw. We'll find all that about tomorrow, but it is quite... When you look at the FA Cup, there is United City that are the two biggest teams in it. But, you know, obviously Wolves have got a lot of big clubs' numbers this season. But, you know, you see that more likely the FA Cup will be the place that United and City will clash. You want to avoid them in the final. So would you want to rather take them in the semi-final than the final?
No, I'd take them in the final. I'd go for it. I just think... Yeah, I'd rather get beat in a final than a semi-final.
I'd rather get beat in a semi, not the final. No way. Final's pure heartbreak.
I've confidence in your team, man. Like I said, I don't think we'll get beat over two legs if we went to their ground. But at Wembley, a one-off game, you never know. You know, all the players are picked up and then they might be playing better in Europe. There's a lot of stuff there.
Well, yeah, for the FA Cup, sorry. Champions League is a different story. FA Cup, I wouldn't mind as much having the final. Champions League.
Here's one. Would you rather get beat by Liverpool or would you rather get beat by City in the Champions League final?
Oh my God.
I think I'd rather. No, it's a hard one, but.
I think that's a question you can't ask.
I'd rather get beat by Liverpool because you can have it again, go on, don't care. But City, that's the one they want. Yeah. And if they beat us to get it, that would be hard
definitely.
A bit of pill to swallow. Just some other news about United before we wrap everything up. And thank you very much for listening. David Beckham has confirmed he'll be playing for Manchester United in the upcoming 20th anniversary game against Bayern Munich on the 26th of May at Old Trafford. I can see this game. I know we're all about the now, but a little look back on the past. This game's turned out to be quite good. A little celebration of 20 years since the Trevelyan kid. Do you think you're going to go? Do you want to?
Yeah, definitely. But I'll speak to him before to bring him my kids and stuff like that to come along and watch. It'd be fantastic just to sort of relive. Can't believe it's been 20 years. To be honest, it just where's it gone?
I was one year old then.
Yeah, you were 1 year old. Our kid. We want to talk quickly about you and your music, because if people don't know, you're a poet. Now, have you got more music coming out? I know Jim, who's on next after us on XS Manchester, you were his record of the week, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
Tell us about the music you've got out at the moment.
Okay, so I've got a new track called Neighbours Out. It's based on hipsters that are popping up in left, right and centre in city centres all over the country. It's not a hipster diss as such, but it's quite comical and, you know, it's getting a really good reception. Much love to Jim for playing it as record of the week. After that, we've got some more tunes coming out later in the year, working with Steve White from Paul Weller and The Jam and stuff. So
class. And if people want to keep up to date with you, where are you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. It's Arkid, ARGH Kid. Follow me on Twitter and there'll be updates on there.
Lovely. Right, now it's the time where we do a little bit of predictions. So what's going to first of all, who are United getting tomorrow in the draw? Abdullah?
Barcelona.
Oh, kid, why did you say that? No. Kid, are United getting in the draw?
I've been having my fingers crossed for Amsterdam. I won't go to Amsterdam.
I think it's going to be, unfortunately, an English club. Don't know what, but I think it might be Liverpool. I don't know why. Something's saying Liverpool
the whole time, but my mind last seconds just said Barca. from Barca at me.
And are we getting through to the next round of the FA Cup? We're going through to the semi-finals.
We're back on form on Saturday. A big tough game, but I think we're going through.
Lovely. Gents, well, thank you very much for joining us. Make sure you're watching Full Time Devils tomorrow, as we'll have the draw live for you. This has been Full Time Devils Takeover of the Manchester Football Social.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.